Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org. We're going to continue talking about our series about prayer, and prayer is vital. Prayer is a necessity. Prayer is something that each and every one of us need. Now, you might not need coffee. You might not need caffeine. I don't know who you are in this place that does not need that, but maybe you're in here. You might be a vegetarian and don't need meat, but you need prayer, each and every one of us. And I'm grateful that God allows us to do that, to pray to Him, to come to Him when we are in need. We've been having a theme verse. It's in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. It's on the screen more than likely. Pray in the Spirit in every situation. Use every kind of prayer and request there is. Prayer is not just a Sunday church thing. We understand that, right? What we just did here earlier, people, the pastors and the elders coming up and praying for people who came up with, found out they have a brain tumor, people who are looking for direction, people are having a hard time in their marriage. It's not just a Sunday thing. It's an everyday thing. And that's what True North Church is trying to let everybody know, along as us, as leaders as well. But with that, how many of you ever seen a cop car behind you, a police officer, a trooper, the lights are going off, and you're like, oh my word, all of a sudden you kind of crank the brakes, you're realizing, oh my goodness, this is somebody who's coming after me, and you're praying, dear Lord, this is my third ticket, my wife will not be happy with this, or my husband won't be happy with this if it's the other way around, there's some ladies who drive crazy, and you're so thankful that they pass by you, and your heart settles a little bit. And you all know that feeling. And if you're a 16-year-old about ready to get your license, you better never, I'm talking to my daughter in here, better never have that feeling. A preacher decided to skip church service one day because he wanted to go to the hills and do some bear hunting. As he rounded the corner around a twisted trail, he and a bear collided. A ferocious big bear, sending him and his rifle, the preacher hunter, down a mountainside. Before he knew it, his rifle went one way and he went the other, landing on a rock and breaking both of his legs. That's not the bad news. That's the good news. The bad news is that this ferocious bear came charging after him from a distance, and the preacher couldn't do anything. He prayed like he tells others to. Oh, Lord! Please, please forgive me. I'm sorry for skipping church. That's for you hunters. No, I'm just kidding. That's good. I'm sorry for skipping church, but God, please grant me one thing. Make this bear a Christian. Oh, what does that mean? Make him kind. Make him full of grace. Make him sweet. Make him patient. And all of a sudden, as he prayed that, the bear came to a complete halt. Got on his knees, put his paws together right by this preacher and said, "Dear Lord, thank you for this meal. Amen." One day, Joe, Dave, and Bob were hiking on the wilderness area, and there came upon a large, violent river. Say Joe, Dave, and Bob. Joe, those are their names, three men. Joe said, "God, please, God, give me strength. It's getting cold around here, and we're going to freeze to death. Give me strength to cross the river." And poof, God granted Joe big arms, strong legs, and he was able to cross that violent river. It took him 2 hours, almost drowned, but he was able to cross it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everyone say Dave. Dave was the other man, and Dave said, by watching him, observing Joe, he said, God, please give me strength, but also give me the tools to cross this violent river. And so the Lord did poof, and God provided him with strong arms, strong legs, and a canoe. And the canoe went through, and he was able to get through in an hour, almost capsized a couple of times, but he was able to make it through. And then everybody say, Bob. Bob. Bob was the last man. And he saw how it worked out for the other two, and he said, "Lord, give me strength. Give me the tools and give me the intelligence to cross this river, Lord." He added one extra one, and poof, God turned him into a woman. She looked at the map, hiked upstream a couple of hundred yards, and was able to cross the bridge. Come on, everybody. Everybody is in need of prayer. One-liner prayers. Prayers before you go to work. Prayers before you eat a meal if you're in a different country and you have no idea what they're serving you. Prayers before you open your email, before you send that text when you're angry. Everyone, pray in every situation, but pray first. Use every kind of tactic. There are several ways in the Bible. And you know, just a couple of weeks ago, we provided a beautiful printout, many pages. But after we're talking about prayer, I hope you're inspired to go out there in the Connect over by the Welcome Center. And there's these pamphlets called prayer books. And everything we're talking about here is in there, plus more. If you want to become a person of prayer, one-liner prayers will do it. 20-minute prayers will do it. 20-minute prayers. An hour prayer will do it. But just pray. That is what the Lord wants. Last week we talked about Moses and his method of praying and the Ark of the Covenant and how it was in a beautiful box that was made specifically in a specific way that God ordered and asked for them to do. And his presence lingered in there. Guys, guess what? We don't need a box anymore. We don't even need this box that's covered by wood here. His presence goes everywhere you go. That's the beauty of who God is. And today we're going to talk about a specific prayer, a powerful one, one that's found in 1 Chronicles, the prayer of Jabez. Who's never heard of a man named Jabez? Raise your hand. You've never heard of him. Maybe you're in the correctional facility. You never heard about a man named Jabez. Well, Jabez is a very important man because in the book of 1 Chronicles, I don't know if you understand what that book is. I don't know how much you've read through the Bible all the way through. But when you get to 1 Chronicles, you want to take some caffeine pills. You want to do something because it gets a little long and a little boring at times. Because all your, let me just put it this way. Have you been to your grandma's house or your great aunt's house or someone's house and they've got these photo albums, like shelves of photo albums, and they're all labeled like 1964 through 68, 1969 through 71. I mean, my mom's that way, and I have photo albums, and you don't know. Let's just pretend you bring a guest with you, and this guest does not know your great aunt, and all of a sudden your great aunt just plops this big old photo album, and she's showing all these. Now, this is my brother Joe. Joe grew up in Tennessee, and he had 10 kids, and all 10 of his kids were named, and she goes, and all 10 of those kids had at least 5 kids, and all their names are, I mean, she's going over and over and over through this photo album. That's what, like, 1 Chronicles is, the first several chapters. It's like Joseph begat this person, and he had this person. They had 10 kids, and those 10 kids had this. And it's a photo album of people that you may not even know or even how to pronounce their names, nonetheless. But when you're done with that one photo album, she brings out 5 more. That's what 1 Chronicles is like. But God decides to put a stop. He pauses in a certain place, chapter 6, to talk about Jabez. It's like he put a big, bright, yellow sticky note. Yellow is my favorite bright sticky note. And he puts it on that portion and says, enough with the photo albums, enough with the great begats, and this person had this person. Let's talk about this guy, because there's something about his prayer that was powerful, something that is meaningful, something that will change you in this place if you allow it. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me. Everyone say, bless me. Bless me in some translations means, God, bless me indeed, with 10 exclamation marks behind it. It's not just, oh, God, I want your blessing, Lord. Let today be good. No, this is bless me indeed with 10 exclamation marks behind it. Something was going on in Jabez's life, and I don't know what it is. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Bless me indeed and give me stuff I don't have. Continuing on, and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. If Jabez can focus on the promises of God, he'll be free from the pain. That's what he's saying here. His name meant pain. And God saw this prayer out of all the other chapters of the begats and the family members. He put a sticky note there and he said, there's something. Okay. All right, Jabez. I see. So if this is the way you're going to pray, I like that. And he pauses and he puts that sticky note and he says, God grants him that request. I don't know what you're labeled. I know when the mother labeled him pain because she said while she was giving birth, there was pain. I don't know if she meant at that moment or that 13 years later when he was a teenager, there was going to be pain. I don't know. We don't know. But I have given birth to 4 kids, and every single one of them got bigger and bigger and bigger, and the 3rd one I had was 12 pounds. Now, I'm not going to say that's pain. That's megamind pain right there. She's an amazing young lady. She does big things for God because I think she was a big baby. She's going to do big things for God. That's what I was proclaiming over her. What defines you? What's your name? Jabez's name meant pain. And maybe you're somebody here and maybe your name is normal. Jack, Tim, Samantha, Jennifer. But beside that name, in the very end, somewhere in the back, someone's labeled you as the divorced one. Maybe the one that's been divorced 2 or 3 times. Maybe you've been labeled the one who is a quitter. You've been to rehab and you keep quitting, you keep going back. Maybe you're that addict, the secret one that nobody knows about. Maybe you're the husband that's having an adulterous affair or the wife that's about to. I don't know what your pain is, but some of you in this, I'm pretty smart enough to know, out of everybody in this place and everybody who's watching online, there's somebody there who has some pain hidden. And it might not mean your name was Jabez, but there's pain there. And God wants to tell you, you don't have to be defined that way. Jabez did not let that stop him. And as you can see, the prayer he prayed was not about the pain. Pain, Jabez, pain goes to the God of Israel, not complaining about his own pain. I don't know what his pain was, but he was more honorable than his brothers. That's what that scripture just said. Something about him caught the eye of God. Right. And so here he is, crying. Pain is crying out to pain, but it's not about his pain. It's about God's promises. And that's the difference. Pain cries out to pain about God's promises. And we're going to find out what those promises are right now. Here are 4 ways we're going to break this down. The first one on your worship guide. And by the way, these worship guides, they're pretty cool. We have somebody who takes hours to create these for you. Hours. And they've got 3 hole punches right here. And that's because we don't want you sticking your finger or your pen through it. We want you to get a binder, a free booklet, a binder that's out there that you can record all of these different notes. That when you're going through a hard time, you can go back and say, what did Pastor Mark say? What was that one point? What was that one point that Heidi said? It's in there. So be sure to take advantage of that. Go today after service, after this gathering, go to the Connect desk and pick up a free binder. Those are for you. The first one on there is pray for blessing. Oh, that you would bless me. That was the first thing that he cries out to God. Not that, God, take this stumbling person away from me. God, take this alcohol away from me. God, take this insecurity. He's saying, God, that you would bless me. He starts out with the promises, not the pain. Bless in Hebrew means barak. Everyone say barak. Barak, that means, God, your greatness, stoop down to where I'm at and put something in my life that I don't already have. Deposit something in me. And it doesn't mean money. It doesn't mean materialism, because how many know you could have all that but still have a huge void and be lonely and be miserable? Ask Hollywood. They're all over the place. It's bigger than that. It's about, God, give me ideas. Deposit ideas in my mind. Let me rise to the top in my company. Find favor. Give me creativity. Give me good health, God. Thank you for the good health of my children and myself. Thank you, God, for making my spouse spiritually strong and faithful to me and my family. Thank you, God, that my kids are passionately in love with you. Stoop down and give me more. If you're a young person here or in the military and you're not married, keep me sexually pure, God. Watch my eyes. Help me protect my eyes. Maybe you're a teenager in this place and you're saying, God, give me the Holy Spirit to walk down the halls of my junior high or high school. I need your presence with me, because God knows what it's like in those halls. He's not oblivious to it. He knows what they teach you in those schools. He's not scared of it. But the Holy Spirit in you, young person, could do amazing things. If you're asking God, Barak, bless me, stoop down and give me more. Maybe you're homeschooled. Ask God to give you the Holy Spirit in your living room, right there in your kitchen. I don't care where you at. We can ask God to bless us, to give us more. Psalms 18:35 says, "You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down." There's that stoop, Barak. "You stoop down to make me great." He's willing to do this, to make you great, to give you more, if you're willing to give that more to others. I grew up in very minimal means. I mean, we had cars. We were able to pay our bills as a family. My brothers, myself, my parents worked full-time. They came from people who picked the crops, the lettuce, the cantaloupe that you eat. They were Mexican-American pickers. We called them pickers. And they did that kind of work. My parents grew up that way. But they said, when we grow up, we don't ever want to be that way. And so they did that. And so they did the best that they could, provide us for my brothers and I. And I can remember there were times we'd be in our church, and they talk about a summer camp. And I'd be like, we're not going to summer camp. That's $100. We don't have $300. My parents had this rule. If one does it, everybody does it. So that means if one of us got in trouble, we all got a pow-pow. We all got spanked. If one of us wanted to go to camp, all three of us had to go to camp, age appropriate, of course. And so we knew we couldn't go. We were like, there's no way. We barely scrape by. We scrape by. There's always food on the table, but there's no way. But there was always people, I believe, who prayed, "Bless me, Lord. Barak, give me more. Deposit more in me so that I can give to others." Because can I tell you, for 4 years of my teenage lives, brother and sister Galen and Patsy Stevens and Galen Stevens, they heard that. They prayed that prayer, and they knew that the Franco kids, which was my maiden name, didn't have the money. But for 4 years, they paid for us to go. God blessed them so they could give more. And that's where I gave my heart to the Lord. That's where I felt him call me to be used for people and to sing and to minister. And whatever areas God has allowed me to be, it's because of Galen and Patsy Stevens. They owned a paint shop in Portland, Oregon, and God blessed them. We would hear about the blessings, the big areas they got to paint, the buildings they got to paint. And in secret, they were paying for my brothers and I to go to camp. Amazing. Oh, God, that you would bless me. That's why we're getting a new building. That's why God's allowing us to purchase this land, to purchase this new building on College Road. We're asking God, oh, God, that you would bless us, that you would help us stoop down all the people of our church, not just the leadership, but everybody here, stoop down, give us more than what we have right now so we can have more parking spots for God, more rooms to fill children, more passionate people who love missions, more for the community that's hurting, more for the men and women that are in the correctional facilities that we need to pay for that technology so the hope of Christ can get out there to them, more care group leaders to partner in with the healing and the hurting of the people, more youth leaders, God, that give back to the next generation, and more children workers to hold babies and speak destiny into their little ears. Oh, that you would bless me. Don't ever be afraid to ask God to bless you, especially if your heart is right and you want to give back to people. That is a powerful prayer. But what happens if God answers that prayer? What are you going to do next? What are you asking for more? Number two, pray for influence. Influence. Back to that main verse, enlarge my territory. That just simply means this: stretch my comfort zone, God. Stretch me. I know it's not common for me to go to the grocery store and talk to the cashier beyond just giving her my debit card or whatever. But God, give me the ability to tell her or ask her, how's your day going? Do you realize every single time, and I'm a talker, ask any of my kids, ask my husband, ask anyone. I like to know how people are doing. And that opens up something that I never expected. Their life is poured out. They don't even know me. And they're telling me how they're struggling with their daughter or whatever it might be. It's asking God to stretch your spiritual chancho pants. Like, get them out there. Go out there and tell people who Christ is. I know by yourself it's scary, but with God, he can influence you in that way. This is critical. I want you to hear this. This is for you, me, for personal success in this area. God has available for you a life that is more than you. Let me say that again. God has available for you a life that is about more than you. More than me. Let that sink in for 2 seconds. What does that mean? Does he not want me to take care of myself? Does he not want me to take care of my family? Does he not want? No. Some of you in this place, the reason life stinks for you, and we don't say this word in my house, but sucks. Maybe that relates even more than stinks. Maybe it's horrible for you. Maybe you don't feel like you have anything in this life. It's because all your life has been is just about you, your pain, your problems, your victim mentality. Yeah, things were done to you, but it's been about you a little bit extra, and you can't get over that. And God's saying, you want to increase your territory? Pray that I bless you, but also pray that I stretch you to be an influencer. That's some of us in this place. Growing up, I didn't have a whole lot. I told you that. I came from a very minimal thing, but we had love, laughter. We were always joking around. We had good Mexican food. And I'm telling you, people would come to my house in droves. We were watching a movie last night, and I didn't want to say it because I was kind of embarrassed, but it was about a girl having a wedding with her fiance, and all these things started happening to the family members of the fiance who's from out of town, and they started staying at the house of the bride. And there were like 30 of them sleeping on little air floaty mattresses that you put in the pools. And I mean, it was crammed. That was my house. We grew up that way. Mark and I, when we got married, I would say, hey, my cousin Johnny wants to come visit and stay the night. Stay the night? What are you talking about? Like, stay in our house? They never had that. They were dairy farmers. You don't spend the night at a dairy farmer's house unless you want to work at 4 a.m, right? So came from this type of family. And I remember my older brother was getting into trouble. He was hanging out with the wrong guys, and they were getting in juvie and all this stuff. And my brother never did, thank God. Right now he's a pastor. He's been a youth pastor for 16 years, reaching the Portland kids, still reaching Portland kids. Anyhow, he comes. He's like, Dad, nobody lets us play in their gym because, you know, we all fight. We mess up, and it's not always our fault. And my dad heard my brother's cry, and so he went to our pastor of this little Church of God church in Portland, Oregon, southeast Portland, and he said, Pastor, is there any way we can use the gym just for a couple of hours? We got some kids that they want to try to stay out of trouble, but they're not allowed to go anywhere because they got in too much trouble, and now they're marked, you know. And he's like, oh, sure, yeah. What days do you think? And my dad says, well, Monday nights is the only night I have available. So Monday nights, like, Monday nights? You sure you don't want to do it on a Friday night when they're usually messing around the most? And I can't do it. Monday night. So Monday nights, my dad started this little thing with basketball players, bunch of messed up Motley Crue boys, I'm telling you. And he started it with 10 of them, my brother included. And 2 years later, it grew to over 150 messed up inner city boys who found out before they could play ball, they had to hear the Bible. And my dad would give his testimony every week. I'm not kidding. He'd have other people come and speak. And actually, the police officers in Portland started finding out, like, hey, the crime's kind of down here, you know. It's kind of mellowed out. They found out there was an outreach going on Monday nights. And they joined in extra on their time. And some of these kids saw them like, oh, man, Popo's here, you know, whatever. And they'd be scared because they thought they were in trouble, but they weren't. Those officers caught on to that vision. They wanted to influence. They wanted to stretch beyond their normal 9-to-5 job. It grew to over 150. And I'm telling you, my mom would cook. I would cook. I would come to check out the guys. They were cute. Our friend, the girls would come. And it ended up being over 150 people every Monday night. And when they had to shut that down because they sold the church to a different denomination, those boys had nowhere to go again. Once again, where is God stretching you? Maybe it's Grow Track. Maybe you haven't done Grow Track yet. You know, there's over 200 people who serve in this church, and there's well over 1,500 who attend. What are the rest of you doing? I ask that with all respect, and I ask it also because I know you need that. My dad worked a 9-to-5 job, and it was laborious, but he came on a Monday night for 2.5 extra hours. Because he knew, beyond the 9-to-5, what pays my bills, there's something beyond this planet I was made for. And it was reaching those boys. Many asked him to do their wedding. Many asked him to pray over their kids. Many asked him to bail them out of jail when they did mess up. There were all those things happening. He influenced. And I have a great example, a model in my life with my parents. But there's Grow Track. You know, I think oftentimes we get a little confused about what serving means. We need you. Yes, the church needs you. But I think you need the ministries of the church more than we need you to fill those areas. Some of you guys, you worked that night, you went to school for accounting, you went to school to be a lawyer, you went to school to be a nurse, whatever you might, you went to officer school, I don't know what they call that, police academy, there we go. You went to all those places, but there's something still burning in you that's like, it's not enough. Yeah, it brings a good check, but it's not enough. This is what it's about. It's stretching you to influence others beyond your normal night. Maybe you're a stay-at-home mom and you're like, all I have are my kids here. Listen, we need you to whisper destiny in the lives of those little kids. Or maybe you want to work with troubled youth. That's you in this place. Start GrowTrack. There's plenty for you. Enlarge my territory, Lord. Enlarge my territory. Stretch me. Let me be an influencer. I need an outlet beyond my occupation, beyond my job. That's what we're praying for. And you know what the inheritance is in that scripture? Your inheritance is people. Nothing, no money, no gift card, no reward, no merit, no promotion could ever make my dad feel the way when they said, Brother Franco, will you do my wedding? Brother Franco, will you pray over my new baby? Will you pray over our marriage? There's nothing more rewarding when you know it's people involved. That's your inheritance. Psalms 2:8 says, ask me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth, your possession. Lord, show me your purpose for my life so I can live a life bigger than my own. So once you have the blessing, you ask for the blessing of God, once you ask him to stretch you and to influence you, number three, pray for his presence on your worship guide. Number three, pray for his presence. His hand in everything. That's why in that verse, that theme verse, it says, let your hand be with me. You want to know why we have so many salvations here at this church? We pray every year at the beginning of the year, God, we're asking for 300 salvations. Boom, he did it. The next year, Lord, we're asking for 400. Boom, God did it. Lord, we're asking for 500. I think this year we're asking for 800. I want to say this year we're at 800. And you know what? Boom, God's going to do it. Not because of the pastors, not because of the amazing children's ministry, not because of the amazing coffee we have here. It's because God's hand, his presence, is steering every single one of our pastoral staff, every one of our directors. It's steering the serve teams that are here, smiling when you enter this place and saying, have a good gathering, have a great place. You want to know why public schools call our church, True North Church, to say, hey, we heard you've been doing something over at Denali Elementary. Would you mind doing something over here at Hunter or at Ryan or at West Valley? People call our church not because we're smooth and charismatic, but because his hand is on all of it. This church can't do anything without God's hand and presence over it. What God asks this church to do is too big for this pastoral staff and for our serve teams. What God asks you to do, and only you know what those dreams are, and maybe they haven't been fulfilled. Maybe you saw yourself preaching in auditoriums to the hurting. Maybe you saw yourself being somebody who could love on children because you were hurt and broken as a child. And those dreams haven't come true. Those dreams can be met here. Here at True North Church, through the proper channels. GrowTrack is the first one. Go through GrowTrack. Find out who you are in Christ, your giftings in the areas. That's what GrowTrack is all about. It's not just like we want you to do 4 weeks of nothing. We're doing 4 weeks of something. Acts 11:21 says, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed. That means salvations. And they turned to the Lord. You know, I want God's hand in everything. So right now I've got a daughter who's learning how to drive. And the Lord only knows, oh, Lord Jesus, you only know how badly I want to put my hand on that steering wheel while she's driving. Because I know. I've been there. I know how to drive. I know that, hey, you got to slow down when it's, you got to be two cars away from the car when it's icy outside. I know those things. And that's what God's saying is like, I know you're good. I know you've read the book. I know you think you know how to do this. And that's how I tell my daughter, I know you think. But let me help you. And God's saying the same thing. Let me help you. Even the best of the best, Moses, who led God's people out of bondage, prayed this prayer. In Exodus 33:15. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with me, do not send us up there from here. Don't you dare, God, make us go up there if your hand and your presence is not with us. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? What else will make us different? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on this earth and on this face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked. Oh God, that you would bless me. Oh God, that you would increase my territory. Oh God, that your hands and your presence would be on everything I do. And lastly, pray for protection. 1 Chronicles 4:10, the same verse we've been on, and keep me from harm. I know when I'm under attack, cancer has come back. My dad, my father just found out it's coming back. Possible signs of dementia now. When my husband and kids don't want to go to church, and now that's not me. I'm very blessed. I'm very thankful for that. But maybe that's somebody out here. Your kids don't want anything to do with church. Your spouse doesn't want anything to do with church. That's an attack because you're doing everything you can to move forward, to possess, to be an influencer. And these things are attacking you. I feel insecure. And thoughts go in my mind that are not right. Thoughts of like not wanting to be on this earth anymore. Can we really build a church that big in Fairbanks? It's a lot, God. A place of hope for people of the interior of Alaska. And God says, yeah, you can do all those things. You can do all those things. Don't think it's not going to come with some attacks when you ask for an increase, when you ask for God to put his hand on stuff, when you ask for God to make you an influencer, to go beyond and stretch those pants of yours to go do something for him more than you've been doing. Don't think there's not going to be attacks, because the enemy's number one job, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there are no holidays, there are no breaks, there are no vacations, is to destroy and attack each and every one of you, no matter how old you are. That is his job, and he's good at it, and he thinks he's the best, and he's going to succeed in everyone's life, but he doesn't succeed in mine, and I pray he doesn't succeed in yours. It's okay to go be under attack, because that's why we pray for God's protection. It's a compliment when we're under attack. See it as that way. Oh, I see, devil, you're threatened by what I'm trying to do here, huh? Okay, come on. I know a little bit of 1-2-2. It's called the word. It's called the word of your testimony. It's called, like, I used to be that way, but I'm not anymore, so just back off. I'm protected. That's God. He's on my side. Maybe if you're not under attack, you're butting heads with the devil, you're not doing that, that's not happening, maybe you're walking alongside him. Maybe you're not asking God for these promises and prayers. And you need to. Each and every one of us do. Right. 1 Peter says this. 1 Peter 5:8. The devil is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. And he may devour. Don't be afraid. Fight, friends. You were made to fight. In the Bible, there's always fighting going on. And it's because God's always giving more territory, more taken away, more from the enemy, bringing his people out of bondage. There's always fighting going on. Don't be afraid of that. Bring it on and bring your sisters and your brothers along with you. Get involved in a life group. Get involved in a care group. You've been wounded. You're hurt. You're trying to get over that stump, but you can't. Get people alongside you that can fight with you, that can help protect you by praying over you. That is available. You're more than a conqueror. Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble? Nope. Hardship? Nope. Persecution? Nope. Famine? Nope. Nakedness? Danger? The sword? None of that. Nothing can separate us from that. No, in all these things, we are more. Everyone say more. Say more than conquerors to him who loved us. You're not just a conqueror. You're more than that. And some. Extra, extra. You know what I'm saying? Right. On your prayer guide, Lord, strengthen me, the prayer. Strengthen me and protect me from every attack of the enemy. Here's the final thought. You have two choices in prayer. And I hope you walk out of here and you grab those prayer books. I hope you walk out of there, you grab those binders that you can put all those things in there. And that's a powerful weapon, friends. You might have a gun and all that kind of stuff. It's somewhere in your locked up in your house. But don't lock that binder and that prayer book up. That is a battleship for you to do great things against the enemy. Two things you can do in choosing prayer. Number one, you can talk about your past and your problems. You could do the opposite of what Jabez did. His name was Pain, but he didn't come to the God of Israel with his pain. He came to remind God of his promises. Remember, you promised me this, God. Right. Or number two, you could talk about God's promises instead of the pain. Is God putting a sticky note on that photo album of your life? Whatever your name is, he stopped all the boring pictures, all the boring begats, and he said, nah, this person right here, Heidi Zweifel, she's praying prayers that are my promises, and I'm going to answer those. Would you bow your heads with me at this time? God, we thank you. We thank you because in this place is a wide variety of prayers, but we're all asking the same thing, God, that you would bless us, that you would increase our territory, that your hand would be upon us, and that you would protect us in all these things. And Lord, I know there's people sitting here and there's people online that are watching that have no clue what I'm talking about when I say Moses. Maybe they heard about him, or when I talk about a guy named Jabez and how his name meant pain. Well, they understand pain, and they're not at this point willing to give up that pain. They're still stuck in that pain, and they've never heard about the God who can deliver them from that pain the same way he delivered millions of his people from the bondage of a king back in the days of old. Today he does the same thing. He can deliver you. He can save you, rescue you. And if you're in this place or online right now and you're listening and you're at that point like, I'm willing to relinquish that pain. I'm willing to talk to God about the promises he's made to me. Then it's as simple as A, B, C. A, I'm going to admit. So right now where you're at, I'm going to admit, maybe in your mind or maybe out loud, wherever, however you want to do it, I admit I am a sinner. I messed up. Things have been done to me that were messed up, that were not my fault. But God, you said I have to admit that I am a sinner. And I climb on the train as everybody else that is in this place that calls himself a born-again believer, somebody who's given their life to Christ. I want to do that. I admit it. B, I believe it. I believe, God, that you are the Son of God, that you are Lord of all. And I want to see, confess it. A, B, C, confess now. It's C, confess. God, that you are Lord, and you can take away my pain, and you can give me your promises. I want that. I desperately need that today, God. And when I leave this place, or I leave this area and go back to my cell, I can know that your promises are still with me. They're not left in a building. I thank you for that, Lord, and for everybody here who maybe has committed their life to Christ, but yes, they want to do more for you. They want you to barak, bless them, stoop down and give them something that they don't already have with your hands and your power over it, God. We thank you for that in this place that's happening right now. In your mighty name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.